Good evening, those of us that missed the beginning of the meeting. We're back from executive session at approximately 6:41. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mr. Begany?
Here. All right, item 4.01, approval of the October 16th, 2018 Board of Education meeting agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Barga by a half second. Mr. Superintendent, were there any changes or alterations?
Yes, we had a couple of personnel items that were updated, as well as adding some insurances on our field trips.
All right, thank you very much. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 5.01, board members may speak on different topics at this time. Tonight, we'll start with Mrs. Questenberry.
Oh, thank you. So went to the mural unveiling, which was just wonderful. I love the mural. To me, it depicts change and hope. I love the colors. I love the patterns. And as we all know, that the plan took many months to plan. And there were a lot of opportunities for people to voice their opinions. What I'm getting to is that social media has become a platform for people to make their opinions known, but also to be rude, make unnecessary comments, and not only about the mural, but other things as well. People make comments that they would never say to a person's face. And there's been comments made about us lately, but we can handle that. And I've said it before, but we are modeling behavior for our children. And what we say, whether it's on social media or say to someone's face, our children hear and they model that. And we really need to be better role models. And what I say to my students at school every day, and you can feel free to say it with me, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. And that would be it for me.
Thank you, Mrs. Questenberry. Good advice. Mr. Barga.
Good evening, all. I've got a couple things to update on tonight. As Madam Questenberry brought up, last week we did officially unveil our mural painting on Livingston. While there's been a lot of back and forth on the design, especially online, I'm quite pleased with the end product, and I'm quite proud to have been a part of it. I was also quite amused by how many times RJ was mentioned in the different speeches. While we were there, it seems, I think, 4 or 5 different times he was mentioned. My kid. Apparently, he was mentioned a lot. The mural is actually not the only current project we have working between the district and community. We have some of our interns working on the construction at the new Y. We have students painting our snow plows right now with Mr. Sampson. And we have some of our art students are currently working on a project with the old floorboards that I'm very excited to see because I keep seeing little teaser pictures, but I haven't actually figured out what they're doing yet, so I'm very excited. Considering the history that the district and the city have, I'm extremely excited to see where this partnership leads. The city and the school district are the main components of our community, and we really do need to keep working together. On Thursday, I will be going into either Rose Hill or Summit. Apparently, I have the wrong school, to discuss my career during the first grader career day. Summit? I will be going to Summit. Thank you. I'm pretty excited to do this, and I know my schedule is not exactly the most workable when it comes to going into the schools, but I really do want to keep going. As Ms. Dunlap often tells us, this is the shot in the arm that reminds us why we do this. Next month, the entire board will be at the OSBA Capital Conference. I'm excited to learn more about how we can better serve our students and community. I'm also excited to see the district present on the HVAC program and see how we can help teach other districts in the state, really how we can help them avoid some of the issues that came before it and how we can help show them solutions to some of those struggles. Saturday, we had a board retreat. Not a whole lot to say about that. Others can fill in, but I think it was very productive. Very good conversations. And finally, and this part is a little long, I actually want to personally thank the superintendent for the work that he does behind the scenes. From a burst water pipe and texting us at 3 in the morning, 3, I checked, to an unexpected closure of affiliated educational institutions and a half-week-long scramble to ensure the best outcome for our students. He does a lot of work that will never make the front page, let alone Facebook. Despite the headline choices editors make, very little of what we do is private or hidden. We will happily provide documents upon request, but we don't actively highlight or publish the work that he does. It's a lot of hard work. He does a lot. Along the same lines, the superintendent, the board, and others, we fix issues often without being noticed. The vast majority of issues are addressed internally within the administrative side of the district, and the very few that are not handled immediately are done so very quickly thereafter. In fact, quite often, in the time between when I find out about an issue and I call him, Melvin's already taken care of the problem. And quite often, he has a detailed solution ready for me. There are some issues that we do keep secret and hidden. These are due to academic, disciplinary, and security reasons. But I assure you, when we hear of concerns, even if they're concerns we cannot address publicly, they are fixed almost immediately. 99.9% of the time, they've been fixed before I ever even call him. The 0.1% of the time, most of that is because he hasn't heard of the problem yet, but it will be fixed immediately afterwards. I want to thank the superintendent and his staff for taking care of these problems, and I just want to remind everyone, there's a lot that happens behind the scenes that we can never disclose, but have faith in our system for doing it, and have faith in the five of us that we will monitor, and we will make sure that they're being done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Braga. Mr. Whitman.
I'm also looking forward to the OSBA Capitol Conference next month, and I was happy to see the mural unveiled, so I could finally see what it looked like. Some people ask me, what part did you paint? And I said, well, I voted yes for it. So, the board retreat, we talked about a number of things, and one immediate change that I think we're going to see is continuing to be more consistent in how we get out the committee reports to folks. So one change we've been doing for the last couple of months, maybe you've noticed that we've made committee reports one of the regular items on the agenda, and then whoever was in the committee, whoever's turned it in has been writing up the minutes and putting them in there. But now we're going to try to move to where the person on the committee that's also on the staff is going to write these up. Then it'll go out to members of the committee to see if there's any additions that need to go in there, and then it can go out and the rest of the board who are interested in it can see them before they're actually here at the posted in the minutes of the board meeting here. So and it's already happening. Just a couple days ago, Madam Treasurer sent out the minutes of the most recent Finance Committee meeting. So anyway, we're going to see how that works for a while and see if that gets us to a more systematic and transparent posting of committee meeting minutes that allows the rest of the board who are interested to see them, before they have to, act on them or react to them here. Let's see. Just this morning I went to Mr. Crane's class, Mr. Crane's government class in Encore, and saw some student presentations on things that they can do to bring Reynoldsburg together as a community. So some actual real-world learning, and the idea is that they're going to choose one of the projects from all the classes and actually try to make that thing happen. So I'm interested to see how that develops. Some of the proposals we heard this morning involved athletics-based kind of community events. So stay tuned for that. And Mr. Crane, thanks for the invitation. There's also, I believe, a soccer playoff tomorrow, Mr. President. What time that is?
We were actually just talking about that. Apparently, it's at 7 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you. And Baldwin Field.
Okay. That's all I had.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Thank you all for coming tonight. Appreciate it. I also went to Mr. Crane's class. Mr. Whitman, I came after you, and Mrs. Holly and Dr. Cosgrave as well. And I stayed for several presentations throughout the day, so it's kind of neat. I went last year, and these are amazing presentations because these kids are very in tune to what is going on in their community. And so to listen to students as opposed to a bunch of adults talking about what they want to see and maybe what some of the problems that they see are in the community is, they're very wise words. I'm looking for a gigantic event because as the day wore on, Mr. Crane said, well, maybe we'll pull in this part from this one and the parade from this one and the cook-off at this one and so and the talent show over here. So there may be one gigantic diversity day, which would be awesome. And also I like because there were treats this year, which there were not last year. I don't know who got the word on that. The mural dedication was amazing. Being a part of that project for actually more than a year, it was wonderful to see that come to fruition. Art is in the eye of the beholder. I understand that as well. I see it one way, somebody else sees it another way. If they don't like it, but I appreciate the people who were respectful when they said they didn't care for it. Wonderful, wonderful project, and I think because of the incredible process that was put into place in getting input, that I can confidently say that the majority of those who were involved in that process, be it whether they went out and sought it outside of the school district or out in the district or in the city, whether it was through surveys, it was a positive response. We have our final steering committee meeting for the comprehensive development plan. Excited about that as well because as there are some wonderful changes going on in the city, like the mural, I think everyone is going to be excited when this 100-page plan is published and approved because it's going to knock your socks off. If you haven't seen it at the farmers market, pieces and parts of it, Reynoldsburg is in for some big changes and some very positive development. Participating in the Super Braxton 5K, that was awesome. A beautiful day for that orchestra concert tomorrow night. I'm excited for the OSBA as well. I said I was kind of excited because I had some extra little things to hang on to my badge, and I appreciate that because as board members, we are always trying to educate ourselves and to better ourselves. We don't sit here and stagnate. There's professional development for us as well, and I think we're all partaking in that, always trying to better ourselves. I also wanted to give a shout-out to even Bill Sampson in particular, because while I sat there at the presentations in Mr. Crane's government class today, I'm handing out some names to Mr. Crane. These are some people to be in contact with within the city. But then I started making the same list, and it's funny, Mr. Barger, I swear to God, you looked at my notes, because I had the same exact things, you know, the Y project, the snow plows, you know, the art project of the boards that were from the old bingo hall. And I said I want to do a shout-out to the city, and in particular to Mr. Sampson, who has spearheaded this, and I think that there's a great relationship that is going on between the city and the schools, and I appreciate that. These are real-life experiences that our children are being involved in. It's, you know, they're getting out, and then once they stay in the community, they can actually really see the results. Just like that mural, we could all walk by and say that I helped paint that one day. So that's it for me.
All right. Thank you. Like many, I had the opportunity to be at the presentation of the mural. I actually was lucky enough to accomplish the two things I wanted to. I painted within the lines, and I didn't fall off the ladder, so I'm happy about both of those. As far as the board retreat is concerned, we did talk about a number of topics, but it's just the method of the board retreat that's important. While these are technically business meetings that we're talking about things here for the community to be involved in, the board retreat was nice because we got to talk in a less formal manner about a number of issues that were coming before the board, things that may be coming up in the future, and have a good give and take. It's healthy for board members to do this. It was facilitated by Ed Vitardi, who was the lead and founding leaders that helped us narrow down our choices to the superintendent. And it was just a great opportunity for us to kind of revisit why we're here in the first place. I think the first question is, what are you most proud of? And then what brings you the most joy as a board member? And that's where we started it off, and it set the tone for the rest of the day. So I look forward to continuing those. This is the season for all sorts of athletic opportunities going on. We have cross country. I believe one of our students is making it to the next level in districts this Saturday. We have the soccer playoff game that was already mentioned. We also have the volleyball team is doing a fundraiser for cancer. I believe, is it this Thursday? I know it's either this Thursday or the Saturday. I can never, I'm flipping the days. But that is also coming up as well. And I think there's a football game on Friday night. I'm not sure if anybody's heard of that. But yeah, sometime 7 o'clock. As a shout out to some of the things that have already been accomplished, our band was out at Canal Winchester this past weekend and ranked, got a third place showing and a superior rating at Canal Winchester, and improved at Meadowbrook and got a second place rating with a superior. And they will be attending States on the 27th. And I believe there's going to be an opportunity for as many people as possible, including everyone up here, to kind of shout them off as they're getting ready to take the ride out to Hilliard that day. So I look forward to seeing all of us out there bright and early on that Saturday morning.
What's the date?
It's the 27th.
Thank you.
I think the band director's wife sent out an invitation recently, so I'll make sure that everyone gets it if they have misplaced the email. Other than that, we do have an election coming up, and I do remind you that pro-public education is important. To give you an idea, some of the conversations that I've had with some state representatives as well as candidates is about the funding situation, and it comes in handy because we're going to be talking about the five-year forecast a little bit later this evening. Right now, the state of Ohio could fully fund public schools with about $480 million. That would mean that every school would get fully funded in the entire state. We would no longer have to worry about a cap, which is a limit on the amount of funding that schools get based on enrollment, which we are on. And it would also get rid of the guarantee for other districts that are guaranteed certain amount of money because everything would be fully funded. Right now, the state of Ohio has a budget surplus of about $2.4 billion, which I'm not the great mathematician, but I'm pretty sure that we could probably siphon off a little bit of that because no more money can go to the budget surplus. It's actually capped in itself at about $2.4 billion. So we could actually fund the entire state as far as education. This isn't an improvement. This isn't asking for additional funds. This is the funds that the state itself has decided to give to the districts and for whatever arbitrary reasons has limited a number of them, including those in Franklin County. To give you an idea, out of that, about $220 million of that 400 and some odd million is just for schools located in Franklin County alone. So a majority of the schools that lose out in the money are those districts. And again, for us, we are in there. Last year, it was around five and change. This year, we'll find out later. I don't want to give the secret away. But these are opportunities. So if you have the opportunity to take a look at the candidates that are running for office, if you have the opportunity to even contact them, ask them about state funding. Ask them about what they're going to do and where their priorities are for education in the United States and the state of Ohio, because it's very important that we get back to what it should be, which is, again, educating our students. With that, I am done talking for the evening. We do have some other business. We have item 5.02, the appointment of a delegate to the OSBA annual business meeting, which is a kind of a ping pong back and forth of why we're looking at this one again. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to, we'll discuss first. We have to nominate somebody, correct?
Yes.
All right, so originally Debbie Dunlap had volunteered to participate in this, and so she was going to be our representative.
No, this is my fault.
And then Mr. Whitman was going to be the alternate. But then we found, Ms. Dunlap, you're going to now be the representative for the career centers that we represent. Is that
right,
correct?
Right, because they had a delegate who had to serve back in their own district. So it was a lot of, I'll be the delegate for my district and the alternate for the other district, and then the dominoes began to fall. And
so Ms. Dunlap is not able to be the delegate because she'll already be a delegate, and our first alternate is not going to be able to attend at the time that he needs to. So now we need to have an alternate. Do I have any volunteers? Ms. Quesenberry has volunteered to do this, so I will move that Ms. Quesenberry is appointed to the OSBA annual business meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any other discussion?
Do we need to nominate an alternate to the alternate of the alternate of the alternate?
Do we need another alternate just on the off chance that something weird happens, which
in
it's
which
Reynoldsburg,
case I nominate
it could happen?
Joe.
I guess if you want to be really safe, you could do that, yes.
Mr. Braga, did you have I didn't hear you. Did you have a motion?
I move to amend the previously stated motion to include a alternate on the off chance that Madam Questenberry is not there, the alternate being you.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any other discussion? Don't get sick. All right. Madam Treasurer, go ahead and call the roll.
All right, Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed, and the alternate to the alternate to the alternate is all set. Wait,
that was just to
approve
the change. All right, so now we're moving to actually approving the new amendment. Do I have another motion? All right, go ahead. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll then.
Mr. Begany?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
All right, so now we are done with that. And we are off to those committee reports that we were just talking about. We have athletics, safety, and finance on. I will start us off with the athletics committee update. Mr. Barga and I were able to attend and talk about a number of options, including something that has come up. If we feel as a district that we want to name athletic facilities, athletic groups, or something along those lines, after a former coach or former player, which has been expressed recently, we realized we had no real policy to do that. So if we wanted to honor any one of our former athletes or coaches for their contributions at this time, the athletic committee has basically instructed the athletic director to come up with a criteria for what that would look like, so we can make those kind of recognitions for all that coaches do in with our community. We also talked about the softball and baseball field, specifically the softball field that is now the junior varsity is split at Baldwin Road and the varsity is at Summit, correct? And so there's obviously some transportation concerns and some other concerns about the fields themselves. If you're not familiar, usually varsity and junior varsity players will travel on the same bus, and this means that this bus now has to make multiple stops and can be somewhat inconvenient, as well as just frustrating for parents trying to figure out exactly where they're going to go. So we're going to look in, hopefully working with booster groups, is to figure out an easy way to solve that problem. And then someone brought up, apparently some people have been going to our football games, I've heard they've been pretty good this year, and talked about the potential for a new scoreboard. So we are actually investigating the possibilities of what a scoreboard would look like, but don't worry, it won't cost what you think. Assistant Superintendent Haley was talking to us about the scoreboard that was in place at Taze Valley. They're doing a complete big redesign, and the scoreboard itself was, if I believe it was it 70 or 90? $90,000, and then it was $40,000 to install. But the community of Taze Valley has actually fundraising and accepted sponsorship, so the ultimate in cost to the district will be zero. Wow. So the possibility of us looking into something like that is something we're going to kind of work on a little bit into the future. It would be one of those nice big ones that you see in other facilities. It's not to say that our scoreboard isn't necessarily good enough as it is, but again, if there's a possibility where we can add something like that without any additional cost to the district, that would be a great benefit to us. Mr. Brockett, did I leave anything out?
In addition to the scoreboard, we are also looking, and I believe this is going to be occurring anyway, to get play clocks around the entirety of the field. I know that that is an ongoing concern, both within our district and from other districts. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's in the process of being done. And we did, this will be discussed slightly with the Finance Committee notes, but we also discussed individual accounts as they relate to student sports issues, some fundraising concerns and booster relationships, but I will get into those when we talk about the finance. Other than that, that's it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you much. That ends the athletics committee report. Now we'll start off again with safety.
Whitman. Thank you. I kept thinking Barga. I'm thinking, no, it was not Barga.
We're all having
Mr. Whitman.
Issues tonight.
We were at a safety meeting, and thank you to those who attended. We really did more discussing on changes made to the procedures of the Taylor Road track, with Mr. Brown saying that more staff was added strategically around the track. We discussed the drills that we have in the district and then professional development that the staff had. And Mr. Whitman, was there more to add?
So the DARE program has been undergoing a sort of revamping in the last few years, and now it has there's an included focus on opioids in there. And let's see. And Mr. Superintendent just expressed his satisfaction with our continued strong relationship with the Reynoldsburg Police Department. They've really engaged well, and they work with us really well with just about anything we need to do, including at our home football games too. So, and that's all I have.
And I also served on with finance, but Mr. Barger is going to take the lead on this one.
Before I say finance, I want to do two quick updates on the other two committees I'm on. Calendar committee meeting with Madam Questenberry. We are meeting tomorrow at 3:45. Hopefully we're going to have some good news for the board and the different stakeholders. Negotiations committee with Mr. Whitman. We have a tentative negotiation scheduled for next month. That's all we have on that.
Thank you.
For Finance Committee. Finance Committee met last week. Our main focus was to review the five-year forecast, discuss any changes or alterations within it, and the Treasurer will expand upon this later. We did spend a fair amount of time discussing animations, sprites, and the Canadians on South Park, mm-hmm. which you will actually get that reference as well shortly. Like the last update, Tammy has asked for us to do something with a new fund that I can never get the name right for.
The Technology Capital Outlay Fund.
The Technology Capital Outlay Fund. We have asked her to prepare a proposed motion for what she would like us to do with that. And my understanding is there's a whole lot of complex, intricate parts that have to go in it for that. So she's working with legal to prepare that. Hopefully we will have something next board meeting to consider to give her as many options as possible when it comes to that fund and that money. The committee explored our options as it relates to a levy. While we're still not currently looking at a levy, it's becoming clear that we need to start looking at the plans and prepping for that for long term. The committee discussed various issues and concerns, discussing these into more detail coming up, and we will start looking into the process of getting an advisor as well as long term, and I do repeat long term planning. We are still a ways away. But it's getting to the point where you start wanting to plan these things out. The committee examined, and this is mostly for Ms. Dunlap, but I do know there was a lot of interest in this. The committee, we examined the use of individual accounts, and while we all want to be able to offer these, there is no way for the district to be able to do so. Based both on advice from our legal counsel, as well as my communications with some tax law friends, the only possible method to offer this is a completely new system with numerous administrators who will individually manage each account as a separate but associated entity. Basically, our school would have a bunch of subsidiaries, which happen to each be a student. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions. No one knows how it would work. It's never been done. That's the only possible way around it. So the district is not able to create individual accounts for sports, field trips, experiences, or anything else. But I would like to remind everyone that last year, Mr. Truex had a very good speech on 529 plans. These plans are independent of the district. They are tax-free. They can be used in different ways to fundraise and to work with different organizations. There is no concern from the district on the taxes of those. I would suggest people look into those if they're considering issues with how they're fundraising or if they want to work together in different ways, but you'll need to talk to your own tax advisor for those details. Finally, we discussed some of the issues that were forwarded from athletics, and at a future meeting we'll be discussing if we want to do any changes in our internal policies or forms just to make sure we're fully clear on all booster and fundraising issues. Anything else, Mr. President?
Just the only thing, for those of you that didn't have the background on it, the IRS came out with a suggested ruling that actually advises not to have individual accounts. So if you've ever had a student that has been involved in fundraising, usually if that student would actually sell a certain number of Krispy Kreme donuts or whatever else it is, the moms or candles and things like that, they're actually advising that districts would be held liable for that. And so therefore, they are recommending not to do it. And most other districts that I have talked to, they have no idea what to do with this. They think the IRS has kind of gone way off its reservation on this one. But the reality is, when it comes down to it, if the IRS wanted to investigate or do something about it, we would then suffer the consequences. So Board Member Dunlap has been passionate about finding ways to make sure that our students that are the most needy in the district will have the opportunity, specifically when it comes to the eighth grade trip to Washington, D.C., as well as some of the other trips that we have out there. We're working on it, as is everyone else, because it kind of took us all by surprise, and we're trying to figure out the best way to make sure that we can do these things with our students still, especially those that might not have the financial resources. So, yeah.
Can I ask one question? Just when the individual having someone facilitate that, mm-hmm. And when you said hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, how did you arrive at that figure?
So basically what we'd have to do is we have to create for every single student, because we have to treat all the students the same. So we would have to create for each and every student a individual capital expense fund of some form. Now, we wouldn't put any money into it. But what we would have to do is create, I don't know exactly the term, essentially trusts for each kid. And each of those trusts would then have to be managed within the fiduciary duties, as well as the other requirements under the law when it comes to those. And then the kids can put different amounts in, but we can't. So really what they can do is they can qualify. We really are just giving an amount per Krispy Kreme donut that they sell, and they're manually putting
it in. Right, I understand that. I just was wondering how you arrived at.
So basically, it's a guess. It's 7,000 students with a managing portfolio, and if you look at any investment group, which obviously we're not talking of investing the money, but in terms of keeping everything accounted down, you're looking at probably 10 to 15 people full-time to manage that. So when you're looking at that number, now, obviously, not all the students would use it, which makes life easier, but we'd still have to set it up. So at least on the initial part, we have to do that, and then the monitoring. So where I got the 100,000 or so, that is
You said millions. So
yeah, 100,000 to millions, yeah. It's speculative, but when you look at the administration side alone, and if we're looking at most of our administrators based on their current salary, you're looking at between – if you're at 10, you're looking at between $500,000 and $750,000 for the administrators alone. And then if you're looking at the rest, because you're looking at between 50 and 75,000 per person. So, and then you look at the other stuff, such as our accounting rules, which will have to be audited. And then we'd have to have independent oversight of that. Any lawsuits that could arise, and when you're dealing with that many things, would happen, especially when it comes with finances. And then if it is a trust, then you get all the other stuff. Are we doing it as a IOLTA-style trust? Or are we doing it as an IOTA-style trust? Whose responsibility? Who does the reporting? How those factors come into play. So, for example, I don't touch my client's money. I refuse to do any of it, even for just one person, because of how difficult it is.
Okay, and I understand the law. I understand. So I was just wondering, you know, so I think you've kind of answered that you said that we would have to set up this trust, for everyone, even though not everyone would use it. And that was your...
So
I was just wondering what kind of research went into.
Is speculative. So what I am suggesting, though, with the 529 is essentially the same concept, except the community creates it. Mm-hmm. So each parent who wants that sort of trust or that sort of plan can essentially do that, and we're not keeping it in-house.
So if you didn't have a reason to not like the IRS before, there you go. That's all for the Finance Committee then?
Yes.
All right. Now we will move on to item 6.01. The superintendent may speak.
I just wanted to let folks know that there will be a meeting of the Outcomes Committee on October 24th at 4. We can expect to hear some emerging details about the freshman experience now coming to be known as the 9X. All right, forget it. You didn't hear anything. Buildings and Grounds Committee meeting. November 6th at 4 p.m. That's in Central Office, it's the Welcome Center, not Central Office. Okay.
So you heard nothing. Strike that from the record. All right. Thank you for that update. Now we'll move on to the superintendent, who will try and explain the term spoiler alert.
I got it. Thank you so much. I just have a few things for tonight. One, I wanted to start with the mural as well. Thank everyone who worked on that. The fact that it was a community project, I wanted to stress that it was not a school project. It was a community event, bringing folks in the community together to craft something. I would encourage you to interact with it. It is not a billboard. It is a piece of art, which means you need to go see it. That means you can't just drop by it and appreciate what's in it. You need to get in front of it. You need to look at it multiple times to really get a perspective on it. Full disclosure, when I first saw the mock-up, I wasn't in love with it either. but I thought it would be a great project to bring folks together. Once I saw it on the building, oh my goodness, it's incredible. And to know that I actually had an opportunity to paint that and stay in the lines, which is not my forte, but I'm extremely pleased that we were able to produce something like that as a community to represent who we are and to give some color and some pop to that neighborhood, in addition to giving something for folks to interact with. It is not a billboard. It is not supposed to broadcast something. It's a piece of art, and it's going to mean something to everyone individually. So I'd ask you to take an opportunity to take that in and create what you will in terms of what you might think of it. But thanking everyone for that project. There has been a ton of work done on our freshman experience. We'll have a number of updates coming forward. We're working on a moniker or a name because I don't love, quote unquote, the freshman experience. We're looking to make it something that's very attractive, something that has some cachet, while also building a lot of salient points within that can give our kids a better foundation as they go into high school. So there'll be a lot more coming forward on that as we continue to go forward. Thanking the executive design team that's working on that now, we're looking to expand that and to glean some input from students, parents, stakeholders in terms of what that looks like as well. Looking forward to OSBA Capital Conference in a few weeks. Our board, we will be presenting what we've done with our HVAC project. This time last year, we had just come up with a remedy for something that was potentially catastrophic, and we're in a position now, a year later, where we're in a much better position. I'm pleased with what progress we're making in that regard, and we're just looking to share that with other districts so they can benefit from that experience. Tons of athletic events going on throughout the district. It's been a fantastic fall athletic season, as well as with band. There's so many events going on, and I wish I was four people so I could go to everything. But please make sure you see our district calendar so you can attend those and support our kids in that regard. Let's see. One last thing I wanted to thank everyone for. In case you didn't know, we had a water main break at Hannah Ashton last night. I want to thank personally Mr. Reed, Chuck Pickett, who facilitates our maintenance department, and all the folks that worked into the night to make sure that was taken care of. And we were able to open school this morning without a hitch. I went over to Hannah Ashton today at about 10:30 or so, and I don't believe anyone would have known we had a water main break last night. Some phenomenal work into the night, and I was getting a number of lots of communication throughout the night into the morning, the early morning, about progress that was being made, including screenshots from what was happening. I was happy to report with my text at roughly, I have no idea what time it was.
It was early.
What was it?
3:18.
Thank you to update the board. And I just wanted to sincerely thank everyone who worked on that. I especially want to give some kudos to capitalize on the partnership with the city. Bill Sampson reached out to me yesterday afternoon after we found out about it and said, hey, what can we do to help? So they were willing and able to offer some assistance to us as well. And it only speaks to the partnership that we're developing with the city. So I'm really proud of that progress and look forward to it continuing. Thank you.
Item 7.01, there was no one previously scheduled. Did anyone turn in a speaker slip?
Not.
So we'll move past that. And now everyone's favorite moment, finance. Items 8.01, 02, 03, 04, and 05 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barger. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Madam Treasurer, the floor is yours.
Okay. On tonight for approval are the September 30th financial reports. We also have a purpose statement for a Lego Robotics Club at STEM Middle at Baldwin on for approval. A handful of appropriation modifications, one for the general fund to have the appropriations in our system match the forecast that you're going to be asked to approve later tonight. Also, we have the Lego Robotics Club to get their account set up, and three additional grants that we're asking for additional funding to spend the money that we're getting from the grants. There's a few donations on tonight. There's a a donation for notebooks from Seton Hall. Champer Insurance did a $100 donation for art supplies, and Half Price Books did $200 for Rose Hill Elementary for books for the literacy night. And last but not least, the five-year forecast is on for approval. And then, Chris, can you pull up the PowerPoint presentation? So this is just a highlight of the bigger PowerPoint, and all this will be out on the district website by next week. So I just took some clips from it and did highlights. And to make it more interesting, I took the Bitmoji, and it's very crude animation because I'm not an animator. I'm just learning how and put some animation. I just left a few clips in this, but the one out on the website, the highlights will have one in every slide. But I took those out so I could actually talk tonight and not let the Bitmoji do it. Do you mind turning down the lights? So we're trying to make forecasting more interesting to people to actually get them to come look at it. So
it certainly makes our finance meetings go well.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
All right, can you go ahead and pull up and do the slideshow? And
I'm just going to add now, everyone can appreciate
welcome
the South
the
Park reference from earlier.
You'll get 2019 October submission of the five-year forecast. And remember, forecasting can be fun. Let's get started.
See my, okay, there you go.
The board works hard to balance the educational needs of the students with the finances of the district.
I intentionally did not wear a tie tonight for that reason.
Okay, so here's where she would normally talk, but I'm going to talk tonight, so it won't be nearly as entertaining. But anyway, see, forecasting is more fun now. We've just made it exciting. So what this graph shows is our revenues versus our expenditures. And I need to find my notes here. So you will see that we have revenues outpacing expenditures through fiscal year 2020. Then in 2021, our expenditures start to outpace our revenues a little bit and to get up to about $10 million in fiscal year 2023. If you can go to the next slide, Chris, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So this is our cash balance. As you can see, our cash balance has consistently been growing since 2016. Again, because our revenues will exceed our expenditures, that will be the case through fiscal year 2020. And then we start to eat into that balance a little bit through 2023. This slide just shows the breakdown of our revenues. State funding is almost half of our revenues, with property tax making up about 30%, income tax about 7%, and then everything else about 12% and then another 4%. So state funding, so when you look at our forecast and you see that our cash balance in the forecast is starting to decline a little bit, one of the things in the forecast is I left state funding flat. But as you can see, for this forecast period, we're going to cross three different biennial budgets. So we're in the last year of the state school funding biennial budget. The next 2 years haven't been determined yet. They'll start working on that hopefully soon. And hopefully next summer we'll know what that next budget's going to be. And then for the final 2 years of the forecast, that's going to be a completely different budget. So there's a whole lot of uncertainty in our state funding. So to be really conservative, I left that flat for the forecast period. Now, one of the things that Mr. Begany had mentioned is the cap. And right now, the state is using our last year enrollment number, so I expect this to change a little bit by the end of October, early November. And I don't know if you can see the numbers there on the very left, but that is our state funding without the cap. And without getting into all the different complications in state funding, the biggest chunk of our state funding that I called base funding is subject to the cap, which means it cannot grow by more than 3% over last year's base funding, which was also capped. So right now, we are on the cap and are not getting close to $3.7 million that we would get had it not been for the cap. Now, certain pieces of our funding do set outside of that, and we could get a little bit of growth on that depending on our updated enrollment numbers this year. But a large part of our funding we are not getting, and as our enrollment goes up, as our resident kids come in, we don't get any additional funding for those students because of this cap that the state has placed on our funding. So if you go back and think about our expenditures starting to exceed our revenues, if we just didn't have this cap based on last year's enrollment, you'd have a whole other year of revenues exceeding expenditures and be pushing out those cash balances a few years into the future. So in the forecast, I've been very conservative and left this flat, but if the state did nothing but remove this, we would be talking, not even talking about a levy until several more years into the future, potentially. Mm-hmm. You want to go to the next one, Chris? This is just a breakdown of our expenditures. And again, there's a detailed PowerPoint that's going to be out on the website, along with assumptions that have a lot of explanations about all this. And anybody who wants to come in and talk to me about this, I'm happy to sit down and go over all that with everybody. This is just a breakdown. 70% of our expenditures are for salaries and benefits. Another 24% are for purchase services. That's for things like special ed cost for some of our higher needs special ed students, or OT and PT services, utilities, legal fees, kids leaving to go to community schools, college credit plus tuition. Purchase services is just a hodgepodge of a lot of different expenditures. Between salaries and benefits and purchase services, that is like 95% of our expenditures. Capital outlay, supplies, materials, our debt payment for the HVAC system, and other expenditures make up the rest of that. Here's some points to note. The forecast is based on assumptions that may and actually probably will change over the next 5 years. As I mentioned before, it covers three of the state biennial budgets, and our cap funding is an issue for us. Salaries and benefits, again, make up 70% of our operating budget. If you add in staff that we employ through GCA, which provides custodial services, in the ESC, that's actually more like 76%. And several years ago, the board set a goal of having a positive cash balance in 2020. And if you look at our forecast, we have more than exceeded that goal, and we'll still have a positive cash balance out at 2023 at the end of this forecast period. Some things to note about stewardship. The board has taken the stewardship very seriously. The technology capital outlay fund that Mr. Barga had talked about at the beginning of this fiscal year had $5.6 million balance. And with the anticipated transfer of $500,000 per year, which is built into this current forecast, we'll have monies to fund technology through fiscal year 2024, which is even past this forecast period. A few years ago, the board set aside money in a bus purchase fund, and right now that fund has enough money to fund bus purchases through 2025 with nothing else being transferred into it. And we have money left from actually our bonds that were passed back in 2008 when the district did that building project. Because the economy had gotten so bad, we came in way under budget and have made that money last and still have $3.3 million sitting in that fund. And then the last slide, just because she's fun to look at, we
thanks
put her
for
back
reviewing
in.
Our 5-year forecast. If you have any questions, give me a call at 614-501-1013 or shoot me an email at tmiller@reyn.org.
I have one where she actually blinks and moves her head now, which is kind of cool. But
I feel like applauding, you know?
Do check out the complete one. There are some fun animation she did.
Yeah, there's one that still has yet to be seen.
I haven't been able to work the dancing one in yet, but I'll find a way to work it into the forecast. So anyway, that was a very, very brief interview. One of the things that I do is after the Finance Committee meets is I meet with each board member individually so we can go over the forecast in depth. And again, like I say, there'll be information on our website next week, and anybody is welcome, as my last slide shows, to come in, and I'm happy to go over it with people in depth. So there you go, the 5-year forecast.
And I just wanted to say thank you, Tammy. I appreciate that it goes beyond the Finance Committee, that each individual other board member goes in. And, I know I was way past my time and got booted out by Mr. Whitman. So some great conversations, not only just about the 5-year forecast itself, but it spurs other financial discussion, which is very important for each board member. And I really appreciate that you spend that much time. So
you're welcome.
It's entertaining as well.
No, I think it's important that when we go over these things, that this is why I continuously, I think this is probably the third or fourth straight board meeting, I've talked about the cap and the guarantee and revenues mm-hmm. coming in. And the reason why is when I talk to people in the public, they don't necessarily understand that. And I think there's a reason why. It's not because they don't want to. It's I think it's so complicated and so complex and sometimes just not really straightforward enough that people don't get it. They think it's very simple. Their property taxes pay for the schools, and the kids go to the schools, and then that's how it all works out, and that's it. it. So that's why I continuously will always be making sure that we're holding our state legislators accountable for that, because, again, educational funding is the priority why we're here. You saw the impact alone, $3.6 million this year could extend, you know, how long it takes before the district has to go to the taxpayers for a levy. And that is a huge thing. That is a huge difference between one year to the next. And if you don't believe that, wait until we actually go for a levy. Then we'll talk about how much the public will need to understand it. Yes.
If I can add on slightly to that. What the treasurer brought up, a very important point that I think is often overlooked. That cap is based on residential students. The cap does not apply to out-of-district students. So if we get a new apartment complex that has 200 people, 200 students in it, those 200 students are in our district. We will find a place to put them. We will find a way to pay for everything. That's not a concern, but we will not get a dime more for that. If those 200 students happen to be from Columbus, we would get money for it. So when you look at the cap, it's residential students we're up against. Nothing else is added to that. Likewise, when you look at the other financial issues, such as the TIFs, which I know have become a big issue within the city side of this, our district gets its 100% or more, sometimes depending on the nature of the TIF. I give you my word, if we're getting less than 100%, you're going to see me up here screaming. Because there's no reason our district will ever voluntarily take less money. But we will always get our 100%. So don't worry about that. No matter what happens with the city side, we will take care of that. We will make sure kids find a place. But the finances are entirely tied to stuff that is beyond our control. But we will do what we can within it.
Thank you. All right. We have a motion and a second. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Oh, are we actually discussing the issues now?
I thought we were, but I guess I was wrong.
Well, I thought we were just talking about the finance. Good. I have two questions then. The first is on your first proposal, the giant checkbook. I noticed that we have on check 16942, it is a purchase of Grandma's Pizza for almost $4,500. Can you please explain that purchase and kind of the procedure that we go through to have those and then to get recovery of that fund?
And why some of us weren't invited?
That too.
That is actually through the cafeteria, and that is one of our lunch menu items. And so there's actually a huge process behind actually determining what vendors get to provide food and different lunches for our students. Winnie Novotny, our cafeteria supervisor extraordinaire, I must add, actually bids all this out every year and gets the best prices for our students. And then so Grandma's Pizza was one. There's another pizza vendor, which I can't remember off the top of my head. So it's one of our reimbursable lunches, which means just like any other lunch that we would serve in our cafeteria, for free lunch students, we get 100% of that cost reimbursed to us by the federal government. And reduced lunch students, we get a portion of that cost. And in addition, other students pay for the cost of their lunch. So the district recoups all of its money by selling the lunches or through federal reimbursements.
So that's our student lunch. That's not like we threw a party for our staff or anything, right?
No.
Good.
I will say occasionally when we have student meetings, you might see a student activity fund buy pizza, but you're talking like $25, not $4,500.
That's what I like to hear. The other question I have is on 8.3. We have a modification, which is, if I remember correctly, almost $3 million. If you could explain where you got to the different amount and where that fund is coming from.
So that's a breakdown of several funds. Chris, you can pull that up.
I think this is adorable.
The family pictures are nicer.
That way the audience can see it too as I explain it.
There you go.
Perfect.
Maybe.
There it goes. All right, so the first one is the general fund. So the original appropriations were based off of last year's forecast. We modified it by $2.1 million to reflect this year's forecast, which, you know, when we're with the board, all the different items that are making up this year's forecast, from additional staffing to offer music and art in our schools to additional special ed costs, that makes up then the $2.1 million appropriation modification. The Literacy Foundation was a new grant, so we had to budget $3,000 so we can spend those monies. The Lego Robotics Club is a new club, and right now they're estimating $1,500, so that's what we had budgeted for them. We have the Expanding Opportunities Grant. We increased that from $250,000 to $325,000. And the Striving Readers Grant will be $745,000 is our current year estimate for expenditures. So these are either adjustments to the budget for the forecast or for grants or the one club that we have.
Thank you. Now I'm done.
Okay. Yeah. Now we have a motion and we have a second and discussion is finished. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 9.01, 02, 03, and 04 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Questenberry. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Mr. Superintendent, any highlights that you want to bring up for us?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to just highlight the transfer of Mr. John Moorhead from Rose Hill Elementary as the assistant principal over to STEM Middle at Baldwin Role as assistant principal there. We're looking to make sure we provide as much consistency at that school as possible. We understand what's happened in the past, and we're looking to alleviate that. In addition to that, you'll see a change in salary for Jennifer Showman, who is currently our EMIS coordinator. She is also taking over responsibilities of coordinating what happens within the within the Welcome Center as we continue to try to improve that process. I don't believe I have any other highlights for you from that section. I think that's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Any questions? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 10.01 and 02 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman, second by Ms. Dunlap. Mr. Superintendent, is there anything that jumps out at us on this one?
No specific highlights on that section.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Standard question, Mr. Superintendent.
Yes, they have been gone through. They've gone through legal.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no other discussion topics, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mr. Barga.
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry.
Aye.
Mr. Begany.
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 11.01, 02, and 03 are on for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Questenberry. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion?
Really quickly, Graduation Alliance is a program that we're going to be piloting at Bell Academy, which will provide some intervention for students who are in jeopardy of not graduating. In addition to providing that type of support, it will also have a component where they get one-on-one counseling through this system, which helps us maximize some capacity within. In addition to that, the Ballet Met addendum, I'm excited to show we're doing some additions to the curricular offerings at Wagner Road Junior High. I hope to get over there and do some yoga and meditation myself because the Lord knows I need it. And then finally, the Washington, D.C. trip, obviously, we're excited about that coming up in the spring.
Okay. And all the proper insurance documentation and everything else has been taken care of for Washington, D.C.?
Yes, it has.
Okay. Any other discussion on items 01, 02, or 03?
Of course.
Okay. I do want to thank you for getting me the insurance documentation almost immediately after I asked for it. I'm very excited about that trip. I do have a obviously standard question. Is that they were checked?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I do have a question on 11.1.
Okay.
I assume they provided that contract for us?
Yes.
Okay. Because, and this is kind of weird because I'm not really sure, I've never seen a copyrighted contract. And this contract's copyrighted. So is there any concern on our end with regard to it still being a public record?
No.
Just wanted to make sure on that one.
Good question.
That was all. Thank you.
All right. Madam Treasurer, unless you're...
I need to ask Mr. Naiman a question since he waited so long for the New York City trip. Is that the...
We're not there yet.
Oh, am I ahead of the game?
We're in D.C.
We're
only.
We're just 1, 2, and 3. Four and five.
Yeah, okay.
The other two are for discussion.
Okay. All right.
All right. Seeing no other...
I need a motion.
We got one.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was it?
I think, Miss... did you...
I seconded it, yeah. Neil. Yeah.
Oh, Jenny, I did Jenny's it. I'm one. Sorry. I wrote it on the wrong one. That's my fault. I got all excited about the forecast, apparently.
We're all jumping around.
Emojis jumping in our mind.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead and call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Bagany?
Aye. Motion passed. Now, item 11.04, it's educational travel for seniors to go to New York City. And I believe we have a guest in the audience that's going to talk about it this evening. You want to come on down?
You guys or them?
Just either way, we've seen worse.
Okay, great. So I'm just filling in for Miss Scouten. She got ill. We just go to the New York City. We specialize in everything that's art related, so we get to see a Broadway performer up close and meet them and talk with them. We see Broadway shows. We go to Statue of Liberty. We travel all over the city walking, and we take the subway trip, and it's just a really good trip to get our seniors to see New York City and what it's like to be there. So do you guys have any questions for me? I can answer them as best I can. I didn't know I was going to speak.
Just on my end, and you'll send this forward to who you're here for. When this does come back for action, we will need the insurance on it, just to make sure she gets that sent in.
Sure thing, yeah.
Okay. I do have to comment on that. We actually will not be receiving insurance. We don't have practice to get that insurance from the airlines. There's not a phone number called or a person to contact for their liability insurance. Because it's fairly regulated, they cannot operate without it. Whereas a local charter could hypothetically operate without insurance. That's why we request it for non-federally mandated transportation.
I withdraw my statement then. Thank you.
Okay. Good point.
Sounds like a great trip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's really fun.
Do you know about how many students are interested in this?
Not yet. I haven't talked with Mrs. Scouten about that. We've went from having 8 students go to about 16 students go last year, and this will be our third year in a row trying to do it. And we are going to open it up to juniors if we have space.
All right. Cool. Thank you very much. All right. Also up for discussion is the girls basketball team traveling to exciting Delaware. Mr. Patel is here. Coach Patel is here. If you want to come down and just tell us a little about this.
I just want to note that's not Delaware, Ohio, just so everyone is clear on that.
It's the other exciting Delaware.
Good evening. We've been traveling with our program for about the last 14, 15 years. We've been taking a Christmas trip, and it's kind of become part of our culture a little bit. And I know when I first got here, we went to Cleveland for a couple of years, and it was a little cold and snowy. Then we went to Florida for some trips. As we got a little more on the national stage, we got invited to a lot. And this tournament in Wilmington, Delaware, it's right outside of Philadelphia, we got invited, I think, in 2012. And I took the kids, and we saw the Liberty Bell, and we went to we saw the Rocky statue, and we went down to Gino's Cheesesteak Place. We had a ball, but the tournament's really good. In our bracket this year, I think there's 2 teams from Arizona and a team from California, so it's pretty national. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but we'll try our best. But that's about it in a nutshell.
And all the assumable, the insurance process and all of that is going to be?
Yes, I think it's attached on
it. It is attached. Okay.
Yeah, on this we did get that.
I think we're pretty set.
All right, sounds like a good trip. You always seem to do pretty well out there when you go on your trips. So.
Hopefully.
All right, any other questions? Else?
Just going to note, make sure we do the cheesesteak thing.
Oh, yeah.
Got to have to do that. That's a must.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, items 12.01, 02, and 03 are all up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion, Mr. Reed? Anything?
12.02, the answer to the question is yes.
No.
Surplus items, you'll notice a fair amount of books coming out of Hannah Ashton. I've spoken with, obviously, the principal and the librarian. These are items that have not been used for years, so we will be finding a possible buyer for those. The St. Pius surplus is your normal unused or unusable items, along with the surplus at Millsburg High School Livingston campus. 12.01, we are part of a large energy consortium of over 100 school districts in the state of Ohio. This is a program that I used to manage when I was at MEC, now Meta. It is time to rebid. It's been 5 years. This is by far the lowest price in the state of Ohio. No one gets close, even though they say they can. No one does. So this is just allowing the board of the consortium to make the decision for us. Now, I do sit on that advisory group, so I'll know firsthand and give my 2 cents. So, but again, I believe we'll actually be paying equal or less than what we paid the last 5 years.
All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, of course. So actually, I do have a question specifically with that contract, and I want to expand slightly first. The decision is not solely in the hands of the consortium, because the last clause of the contract actually moves that discretion to Madam Treasurer's hands. So what I want to know in regards to that last clause, how have you operated under that process before, and what exactly are we authorizing you to be allowed to do?
Can you pull up the resolution there, Chris?
It's Tammy's new vacation home.
It says that I can review the recommendation, but I'm actually going to take what the consortium's recommendation is, and I think that we could actually even have it brought back to the board if the board wants to weigh in on the final bid. I don't recall what we did 5 years ago when we bid it, what we ended up doing with that process, but basically you're given the consortium the permission to bid that, and then me the ability to make the final decision. If the board would feel more comfortable if we brought that back before the board, we can certainly do that. Normally in the past, I think we've just deferred to META because they do have a really good consortium and spend a lot of time going out and getting these bids.
I have no need to bring it back to us. I was just curious what the process historically has been with that.
Mr. Reed, I'm sure you would let us know if it was above, which you have not found that to be past practice.
This is just for natural gas, and the climate of pricing in Ohio is still, actually, in some cases, we won't be paying for some of those parts of our bill. It's in the negative now because we're supplying to other states, so they're buying it from us.
Sounds good to me.
And so really, and just another point, my main point in this is that I need to certify that we have the funds to actually pay for the gas for the next 5 years. Which we do.
All right. Go ahead.
That answers my questions there. The other question I have is on 12.2. This is actually a very interesting contract. I quite like it. Because if we scroll down, and I have some questions here, we are guaranteed to get money without having to do anything in this contract. Now, we might have to do something if they need our advisory, and if we send students there, it offsets the amount that we would be paid otherwise. But my understanding of this contract is we're essentially being paid to hold open options that they can then use if they need to. Is that correct?
That is correct. We still do give them some support in terms of consultatory advice and guidance and that sort of thing. That's something that Ted for sure leads for us. Also, we wouldn't necessarily be sending students there. Those students would have to transfer there because it is a different entity from our district.
Okay. And so what happens under this agreement with the $19,000 that we would be getting if we utilize more of their resources than that? So if we – I don't know how much we would save per student. So let's just say it's $1,000 per student and we send 20 students. What would happen?
Well, you said how many students?
So if we send 20 students and let's say each student is worth $1,000 in teaching. So based on this, the $19,000 applies to all of our students we could ever send them?
No, because we actually don't send students to Brookwood.
Whatever the offset equation is.
If 20 of our students transfer to Brookwood,
yes.
Brookwood would actually get the dollar amount per student themselves. This is simply kind of a consulting contract, so to speak. So in that case, the funded number is $6,060 per student. So each of our students that money would leave our coffers to theirs.
Okay, so then how would B work? Clause B, which is if anyone participates in those programs, there's a reduction in the monthly. So if money is moving otherwise, why would we have as a process in the contract money moving also otherwise?
Where are you? I'm sorry.
I'm right here on B.
It's on the screen. It's clause B of, yeah.
Okay. That would be a case. Let's say they offered some type of specialty program that some of our students might want to participate in. Then we could add that conversation.
Okay, that so it would be a different.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
I wasn't
that doesn't
fully
mean
following that.
That wouldn't be an enrollment issue.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure if everything gets done in here, like to the maximum amount, we don't actually end up owing them money.
No, we wouldn't be in that position.
Then thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 13.01, executive session. Items A2 and A7 are, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap, second by Mrs. Questenberry. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. We will adjourn to executive session. There will be no action afterwards. Thank you.